everyone, and welcome back to another episode of In the Rearview Mirror, a Destiel retrospective.
What? Ooh,
changed it. I know, it's not a supernatural retrospective. I mean, it is. We are still your Hunter hosts. I'm Graham.
I'm Sierra.
We're here to talk about Dean and Cass's relationship, kind of through, this is the part two of 7 and 8, but this is really just season 8, breaking down all that good stuff about Dean and Cass's relationship in season 8 and our proof on it. However, what does Dean have in this season?
Vampire side piece.
Yeah.
Benny. We love him.
This is a continuation of all of our other Destiel things. Again, however you want to read this, that's fine. We're believing in Dean and Cass's relationship romantically. And this season is a little bit more interesting because I think this is where we get to finally see Dean being potentially bi and where there could be proof on why we think this.
I think so. I think there's a lot of evidence in this season in particular.
Yes, I also do agree with this. I think this is a very influential season on Dean and Cass's relationship and how they move forward in general, I want to say, and Dean's sexuality or how he thinks and just everything in general.
10 steps forward, 90 steps back.
Yeah.
But we'll get there in season 9.
So I think it's interesting that really, again, this is for Dean and Cass kind of only, that the entire time that Dean is in purgatory, he is looking for Cass.
Where's the angel?
He is looking for Cass. He does not care. He's finding Cass. I don't think he realizes what went on. And then as soon as Dean finds Benny, Benny kind of knows already that Cass kind of left Dean. But Dean doesn't want to hear it. Dean thinks, nope, they got separated. I gotta find Cass. There's no way I'm leaving purgatory without the angel. I'm not leaving him. It's going to happen. Benny, you're going to have to suck it up.
If you want to get out of purgatory, you're going to have to help me find the angel.
Yes.
That's facts.
I think it is interesting that Benny does follow through with this plan with Dean.
Mm-hmm.
You could say out of own self-preservation, but I think this is very interesting because we know for the future episodes, Benny is not a bad guy.
No.
So Benny, I think, does care for Dean. When is this prevalent? I don't really know. You could say when he stays with Dean, he helps Dean, find Cass, many things. But in this sense, maybe it's self-preservation and it turns into something more. But we're going to say Benny really does care for Dean and his well-being. And Dean also, I think it becomes he cares for Benny and his own well-being and his safety. But that's more of an in-time thing.
In time, they both do very much care about each other and each other's well-being.
Yes, I do believe Benny knew right away that Cass left Dean. It makes no other sense why he would do this. So I think it's funny that Benny always says, you know, why are we looking for this angel? Why are we looking for this angel? Like, he left you. He doesn't tell that to Dean because I think he knows that Dean would be heartbroken.
I feel like Benny heard the story and Benny was like, oh, okay. And his head was just like, buddy, you were abandoned. Your friend ran away. He's not a great guy, which proves itself when they find Cass later.
Well, and also even if it was self-preservation, I do also think that Dean won't want to get out until he finds Cass. So yeah, it could be self-preservation to find Cass to satisfy Dean's needs. But I think he's slowly realizing that maybe if I just help Dean find this person, he'll be good. But also because I care for Dean, I must help him find this person. So he is happy.
But he doesn't want to be alone in purgatory.
Yeah.
That's a terrible place to be by your little lonesome.
Mm-hmm. Even though we do find out that Cass was leading the Leviathans away from Dean, this does remind me about season 7 when he says, I shouldn't go with you because of bad luck. But Dean in turn says, I'd rather have you, cursed or not. Dean says this whole thing right here. I don't care. You're coming with me. Why did you leave me? No, we're not doing this.
This apparently fell on deaf ears as Cass decides to abandon him. And then Dean finds him again. And he has to give the whole speech sort of over again.
Yeah. He's like, I don't care. Even though Dean says, I pray to you every single stinking night. And Cass is like, yeah, I know, man. I just wasn't going to come to you because I'm keeping you protected. And Dean's shook. He's so stressed. He's like, I already told you. I don't care about this. I'd rather have you and all of your mistakes and all of your issues and baggage that comes with you. I want you.
To be fair.
How many times can I say this to you?
To be fair, I think Dean is shook when Cass says that. He was like, oh, you abandoned me to protect me? Because, I mean, Dean just thinks he's abandoned because Cass doesn't want to hang out with him, I guess. Instead of Cass just trying to help him and keep him safe. Dean felt abandoned, but he was like, oh, he abandoned me because he was trying to protect. I feel like that kind of just didn't really compute in Dean's brain. He was like, I don't understand, but you left me because you hate me.
Yeah, he's having a lot of issues. This is more of all like the purgatory stuff. So I want to continue with kind of near the end of purgatory. I think it's interesting that Benny and Dean's relationship grows a lot because I think this is huge. We don't get this until a few episodes later, but in the purgatory chronological sequence, this is the next thing, that Benny saves Cass after they've teamed up. After Dean is so happy they found him and they're going to go off, even though Cass doesn't tell Dean he's going to leave him again. And I think Benny knows this, but regardless, Benny saves Cass.
Yeah.
Without Dean watching, without prying eyes, or without knowing.
Without being prompted by Dean to save him.
Yes. And so he saves him, whatever. And not only does he not just save him, he helps him up. Kind of like, come on, man, let's go. Let's continue on.
A nice gesture.
They were just bickering like 2 minutes ago.
Oh my God. I feel so bad for Dean this whole time in purgatory. These two dudes back and forth with their bullshit.
And again, I kind of want to bring up the point. Is this self-preservation? Is he helping Cass? Because Dean would be super broken up and maybe would not bring Benny with him, but also knowing that Benny is a good guy, I think it's because Benny is doing this for Dean because he knows Dean would be completely and utterly heartbroken if Cass were to actually die. Especially on his watch, he'd probably think it was his fault or Benny's fault, and so he just wants to make sure that Dean is okay because he genuinely cares for Dean, I think, at this point.
Mm-hmm. He didn't have to help Cass up.
Yeah, he didn't have to help Cass up.
And it's really like, what it comes down to is that Benny is a good person.
And I think Benny knows that Cass is probably not going to make it through the portal. But he goes along with this whole song charade. And dance. Yeah, he does, I think, for Dean's sake. And again, is that self-preservation? But I don't know. He could have just said something or not looked for Cass or just said, oh, you know, Cass is dead. I don't know. But and then maybe he just knows Dean that well that Dean wouldn't put well enough alone.
Well, I mean, yeah. How intense Dean is in purgatory about Cass. I mean, Benny is smart to just be like, yeah, okay. Yep, going along with that. Maybe, buddy, this isn't the best idea. Yeah, nope. Oh, yep. Mm-hmm, yep, nope. Gonna find the angel. Yep, sorry. Sorry I mentioned it.
So I think it's interesting once Dean gets out of purgatory, there's a lot of issues that we don't see at first. First of all, Dean thinks that he left Cass behind, that it was his fault. When we know later on, Cass wanted to stay in purgatory all by himself. All along, too.
To do penance
and for his sins that he had done. Mm-hmm. And just didn't want to tell Dean. Because Cass knows Dean wouldn't accept that.
Yeah.
He would think it was his fault and he couldn't do anything. And in my mind, I think it's funny. Because I mentioned this that Cass immediately abandons Dean right when they get in purgatory.
Yes.
Because he knew he had to leave Dean because he was being hunted.
Mm-hmm.
And if he was by Dean's side, Dean would convince him to stay. Because he knew, Cass knows that he would be convinced by Dean.
Oh, yeah, he had to leave immediately.
So I think it's funny, because obviously this is proof right here. When Dean finally finds him and says, no, you're coming with me. And Cass is like, I guess I just have to tell you I'm not coming. And he says, I didn't know how to tell you. I don't know how to tell you that I need to stay. And he just didn't. He just, at the last minute, says, nope. And made a split decision to say, nope, bye,
nope,
leave.
Go.
Yeah.
Go through the portal without me.
But of course, Dean fucking Winchester, or Dean Puppin' Winchester,
oop,
with his abandonment issues, could not process this and thinks it's all his fault that he couldn't leave.
What does his brain do? It creates a false memory.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I think that's one of the most compelling. Whether you think they have romantic feelings for each other or not, you literally can't deny that they are both extremely important to each other.
Yeah.
You can't. This whole season is literally just like, if you don't think they're even sort of actual friends, you're insane.
And this is proven by, I feel like, Sam's reaction, Benny's reaction. No one mentions Cass. He's not out of purgatory. And Dean says, he didn't make it. And that's it. No one mentions him. No one says anything. No. Sam says something like, you saw it, right? You saw it go down. Like, he's gone. No. Doesn't say the word dead. No. And he says, I saw enough. And Sam knows immediately not to bring it up.
Yeah.
He's dead. He lost him once. Now he has to lose him again. He watched this because obviously Dean is very upset. And then Benny, even though I guess you could say he doesn't care, but I don't know. I feel like Benny would say, hey, where's the angel? And then Dean says, don't. It's fine. He didn't make it. He didn't, like you said, he didn't make it. Mm-hmm. Or Benny already knew that he wasn't going to make it, so he wasn't going to bring it up to Dean and cause more trauma because he feels bad for Dean.
I feel like Benny would just keep his mouth shut.
Yeah. Until Dean were to say something.
Instead of being like, hey, where's that angel you were looking for a year in purgatory?
Mm-hmm.
That would induce a very violent reaction out of Dean. Yeah, just shoving his little like, shut up! Shut up about Cass! Shut up about the angel!
I also want to mention, I think this is a very big turning point for Dean. Because Dean, when he's explaining to Sam, that purgatory felt pure.
Interesting.
I believe, and I think Sierra also agrees, right? Maybe this is the reason in when Dean realizes he's had different feelings for Cass.
Listen, here's the thing. So Dean tells Sam that purgatory was just pure. Didn't he say it was pretty much just instinct?
Yes.
Doesn't he bring up the word instinct?
Yeah.
I think. So he says it's pure. It's, you know, there's this instinct you're acting on the whole time because it's 360 degree combat, like all of the time.
And I take pure as you know everything. You've been enlightened, almost, as I want to say.
There's no drama from, like, the outside world. It's just you, your weapon, and, like, you're fighting whatever is in front of you.
Because it's monster heaven. I say heaven. And
right.
Or monster hell. Whatever. It's this weird in-between where people go to rest. I say rest. People weren't fighting each other. They could be resting there.
Right. And so I think it's interesting that Dean's pure instinct is to immediately look for Cass. The whole time. No negotiation. Mm-hmm. Nothing's going to like tear him off of this path.
Mm-hmm.
Even Benny trying to reason with him. I mean, Benny made great points when he was talking to Dean.
Even Cass made the whole points too. I don't think it's going to work. And Dean just shuts all that shit
down.
Dean,
shut up about the portal. Shut up about the portal.
Seriously.
Yeah. Dean literally is just like, wow, guess who doesn't care? It's me, idiot. Shut up. You're coming. I don't know why you're like this, but I don't care.
Yeah.
Like Dean is just shutting that shit down. So I don't know. I feel like this is sort of a turning point for Dean. And I feel like when he doesn't understand it, I think, in purgatory. But then when he gets back and he starts feeling normal again, like his regular emotions, I think, one, they're maybe a little duller.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not as, like he says, pure, because there's just the distraction of all this. Your cell phone's ringing, you can watch TV, you're relaxing. It's not just animal instinct and survival mode 100% of the time. So maybe he can, I don't know, reflect on that purgatory.
I think it's interesting. That's why I said pure. And I think in my eyes, that's why I use the term enlightenment. Mm-hmm. You've reached enlightenment. You've reached who you're supposed to be or what you're going on. And I think Dean has done a lot of self-reflecting and nothing's holding him back. He can be true to himself. Because there isn't this social stigmatism or Dean doesn't have to perform for others. He can just be.
I think
his true self.
Right. And I think people focus on Dean saying he feels pure and, you know, he's a hunter and like that's who he is.
Yeah.
And he just likes killing monsters, blah, 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 blah. That wasn't Dean's experience in purgatory. He does kill monsters, but his entire focus isn't just monster killing. It's finding Cass.
And I think that's his entire arc almost as a character, is that he seems, what is he say? Daddy's little blunt instrument or
Daddy's
whatever?
Blunt little instrument or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, that Cass says that and then says, wait, you're not this. You're not this evil person that you make yourself out to be.
Right.
You're a caring human who is doing all this for all the wrong reasons or all the right reasons,
right,
I say, that where it seems that you're angry, I've said this before, anger has a wide spectrum of emotions, where it seems that you're just this angry man when really you're frustrated and hurt and are touch-starved and don't have those emotions that normal people get.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that's what purgatory was shown, is that it's pure. And in my eyes, Benny shows Dean who he is as a person and that he can be trusted. So that's my proof there, I believe, of purgatory being pure, yeah.
Oh, that's an interesting thing. You seem to be stripped down to just who you are at your core.
Your core, yeah, exactly.
And what did Dean do is he looked for Cass, his friend, his person he cared for. Interesting. Benny was just hanging out trying to leave.
Yeah.
Because he just wants to...
Let's go back.
He just wants to go back. He just wants to, you know, hang out. He doesn't want to, like, you know, kill people or anything. He kind of just wants a second chance.
Because he was killed. So that would make sense.
Yeah. Okay. Kind of. Yeah. That makes sense. And you know what? Not only is Dean's focus finding Cass, you know, pure instinct or whatever it is we're talking about here. When he does find Cass, oh my God. When's the last time you've seen Dean smile like that?
Yeah.
Shut up. Tell me the last time. He is so happy. And by the way, he hugs him, which he's never hugged him before. By the way,
he's like old Dean again in my nice peach foot. Like he is old Dean.
Oh my God. Yeah, he does say
so
that.
He's so happy.
He like cannot contain himself.
Yeah.
He really cannot.
I don't think, and in my eyes too, I don't think he would have done that for Sam. Yeah, he would have hugged him and been happy. But in my eyes, he, not that it would be a performance if it was Sam, but it almost would be because it's family.
Yeah. I don't know if it would be as
intimate. Pure. Yeah, pure.
I mean, he was just so poppin' happy.
Yeah.
He was just so freaking happy to see Cass again. He was like, oh my God, what a relief. This is like a weight off my shoulders. I finally found you. We're reunited. Mm-hmm. This is exactly what we want. And, you know, poor Cass. But Cass doesn't hug Dean back. And that was really sad. But oh, Cass wanted to. Mm-hmm. Clenched fist and everything. Oh. He's like, no, he's found me. Yeah. I'm so happy to see him. But God, he's found me.
So the next thing that I really have is once Dean is topside. Mm-hmm. And to me, this goes to show about Dean's sexuality. Dean potentially being bi. Because Cass is still in purgatory or he's gone or whatever. So he's not in this when Dean is topside. So it's this episode with Dean and Benny, where Benny is going to kill his creator. And it's this whole conversation that they have and all of this stuff in between. So, first of all, I think it's hilarious that once Benny has all this blood in him and Dean is shook. Wow, you look great. Like, I don't know. You didn't look so good as before. And he's like, yeah, that's what happens when I... Come on, man. He's like, oh, okay. Whatever. It's like, I don't know. It just seemed a little odd that he did this. But then Benny says this line that I feel like I have to walk through because it's such an odd line in how it was written, how it was phrased, and how also, because on Netflix, subbed it and how it was written on this.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole conversation that Dean has is Dean is trying to get Benny to open up, which is funny because Benny's sitting here going, you know, we had this transaction. Yeah, I wanted you to help me because I thought we were buds, but you don't actually care about me, right? But Dean's kind of prying. What's going on? Why are you doing it? Why are you killing vampires, Benny? Come on, talk to me. And Benny says the line of, Dean, you and your whole friends thing, man. Friends being in quotes. I take this in a million different ways. First of all, if you wanted to say someone who's a friend, who's actually not a friend, who's family, why didn't you just say, yeah, you and your family thing? Because I think Benny knows that Dean, once he's trusted, like we've said, he holds on and doesn't let go. Mm-hmm. Your family. Once your family, you're always family. Cass was with them for a few episodes, and now Dean all of a sudden thinks of as family.
Sure.
That's just who he is as a person. So Benny could have said that in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
But why would you say that? In my mind, for Benny to say you and your whole friends, quote unquote friends thing,
mm-hmm.
makes me think that, I don't know, how else will you take this? That you're supposed to be friends, but it actually means something more? How else do you take that?
I mean, it's interesting because he could say that line and maybe be referring to himself and Dean as like, we're not really friends. This was like a transactional relationship because I helped you, you helped me, blah, blah, blah. We're done here. But then they have the purgatory flashback.
Yup.
And that's where it gets a little weird. They have the whole Benny and Cass bickering thing. Dean be like, oh my God, shut up, shut up, shut up. I don't care. I mean, because there's all that tension between Benny and Cass. Cass just calls Benny the vampire. Like, they don't like each other. But they are both sort of friends of Dean. And so Dean's just trying to make him get along.
So I think Benny sees that Dean genuinely cares about what's going on in Benny's life.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think it's just odd that, I don't know, just how he phrased this, it was odd. I don't know why he put that in there.
I also think Benny also kind of doesn't know where he stands with Dean. Because if Cass is Dean's friend,
mm-hmm.
what does that make Benny?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because of how, I don't know, intense Dean mm-hmm. is about Cass and how intense they kind of are about each other. And he's like, okay, well, these guys are just like friends. Like, what? We're just, this is a transactional relationship here, bud. I'm helping you. You're helping me. We're done here.
I guess that's what I'm trying to say, is that I think Benny sees that Dean calls Cass a friend, and it's very not, there's a huge bond here.
Yeah.
So now Dean is calling Benny a friend, and Benny's like, whoa.
What does that mean?
What does that mean? There's a lot
you don't really care about me like that, like whatever's going on over there, so I don't really know what this is. It was just an interesting thing, and to have that flashback, it's just a little interesting.
Yes. And then at the end of this episode, Benny asks Dean why he helped him, because Benny doesn't understand. But I think Benny finally understands who Dean is as a character, mm-hmm. because we see the flashback where Benny saves Cass. And so in my mind, you could take this of two ways. Dean is repaying Benny because Benny saved Cass.
Right.
So he is inherently grateful because mm-hmm. he saved his love, whatever you want to say. Or he helped Benny because now he can trust Benny because he saw Benny save Cass. He knows Benny is now a good guy. So where he would want to be friends with him, that just topped it all off. Okay, Benny's a great guy. I can trust him forever now because he saved Cass, who Benny knows Cass means so much to me.
Right.
Obviously, whether or not he wants to be my friend or not, he knows. Benny obviously knows that Cass means everything to me.
Right.
So he saved him, knowing it would do that. Or he didn't save him knowing it would help me. He just saved him because he's a good guy.
Right.
So it's this whole...
He saved him and helped him up.
Yeah, it's this either way. Either he saved him to help me or he saved him because he's a good guy. And I believe that. So he did this for all these many reasons. Mm-hmm. And now Benny is asking, why did you help me? And Dean's sitting here going, because I know you're a good guy. Right. Pretty much he's just saying that. I know you're a good guy.
I think Dean also sort of feels indebted to Benny for saving Cass, of course. Because obviously Benny saw how much Cass meant to Dean, and of course it'd be easier to just keep going without the whole bickering with Cass, and Benny doesn't really like Cass that much.
No, and that's my whole thing.
Dean, yeah.
And I think in Dean's mind, if you want to support the fact that he's bi, maybe thinking that Benny actually cares for him something more, too.
Maybe was a little jealous of the intensity between Dean and Cass, whatever that is. It's the
I know this is your... gonna be probably your last love and everything, but maybe we'll have a good run in the middle here somewhere.
I mean, they do sort of parallel Cass and Benny's old girlfriend.
Yeah.
I think. And in this situation, the help is killing her.
Mm-hmm.
And Benny's was saving Cass. And so they kind of saved each other's, you know, the love of their lives
mm-hmm.
together. Is this making any sense?
Yes, yes.
What I'm trying to drive across?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that was an interesting, whether that was an intentional sort of parallel, that's kind of how I see that.
So the next huge thing that we have that I think is very important is that Dean starts seeing Cass on the side of the road, seeing him outside his motel room, and Dean isn't really fazed by that.
He thinks
it's just, man, I've been seeing him everywhere. That's what he tells Sam. God, I feel like I'm seeing him everywhere. I don't know, I saw him earlier on the side of the road, and he just doesn't think about it. He thinks he's seeing Cass. He thinks that's normal. Whether that has happened in the past, or he just thinks, yep, this makes sense. This is the new thing for me, Dean Winchester. I'm seeing the person I truly want to see the most, and who is my fault that is now dead.
I miss Cass so much. I'm hallucinating him outside of the motel room and, like, when I'm driving down the road.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't think for a second that that could actually be Cass.
Yeah.
He's convinced that he's dead, died in purgatory. Dean will never see him again.
Yeah, he thinks for a second, but then he's like, never mind. No. And then Sammy brings up, well, you know it's not him, right? Dean's like, yeah, I know it's not him. He's like, yeah, because Dean, you said, right? You said you saw him. He didn't make it. And Dean's like, yeah, I know. He didn't make it. I know. I said, I know what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't make it. So what I'm seeing doesn't make sense. And honestly, Sam doesn't bring it up again. He just says, okay, my brother's really going off the deep end now.
It's like, I'm sorry. You know what? Sorry you brought it up.
I'm sorry.
I mean, Sam does kind of send Dean into a spiral, so he does feel bad because Dean just goes off like, I don't understand why he didn't try harder. I did everything I could to get him out. So why do I feel like crap?
Well, he literally is just like, I don't want to be a failure. Please, someone validate me that I'm not a failure, even though Dean thinks he is a failure because he couldn't get Cass out.
He couldn't get Cass out. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think that's huge, too, because finally when Cass gets out and Dean tries to apologize to Cass and mm-hmm. brings him aside and says, you know, I'm sorry. I did everything I could. You must know that, man. You must know I tried my hardest to get you out. I didn't leave you.
I did not leave you.
And Cass is shook because Cass now knows, like, oh,
shook. Shit. He's just confused.
I broke him. I broke Dean Winchester. Oh, no. You think you left me? Mm-hmm. I stayed. And Dean, oh, my God. I think the world broke everything. The rug was ripped out from under him. His world as he knew it was crumbling down before him.
Yeah, poor
Cass abandoned him. Dean fucking Winchester with abandonment issues. Cass abandoned him. Mm-hmm. After all this time he tried to save him. And then Dean probably know, looking back, what did he say? Didn't Cass say something about, you know, if you can't get me out, no big deal, right?
Dean, you know, if there's something like, Dean, you know, if this doesn't work, you know, thank you for everything, you know, you've done for me, blah, blah, blah. And Dean's like, shut up. We're getting you out.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't even think about
it. Stop saying that. Stop saying that. Because I'm sure this is Cass. He just keeps trying to bring, you know, it might not work. And Dean's like, shut up. Yeah. You're coming.
And I think Dean probably's looking back at this going, oh, my God, he was trying to put me down easy. And I just wouldn't listen.
Trying to just sort of prepare him because Cass planned not to come back with him.
And that was the whole thing that I said, that why I don't think Cass went to go see Dean is because he wouldn't been able to say no to Dean. And he didn't say no to Dean. Mm-hmm. He just left him. And so I think he was trying to put him down easily because he knows that Dean has abandonment issues. I can't think that. And so I think he's saying no, and in reality, what Cass said, no, you go. But Dean twisted that as Cass just saying, Dean, please help me. And Dean fucked up.
You know what? It's so funny because Cass is like, honey, you really should have seen this coming. Like, you were going to break him either way. Either you decided to not come with him, abandonment issues, or Dean feels guilty about not getting you out. Mm-hmm. Whatever situation happened or Dean perceived later after the fact was gonna mess him up.
Yeah.
And poor Cass, you know, he's very nice to Dean about this. And he does, I think part of Cass's penance here in Purgatory, I think it was not seeing Dean.
Oh, yeah.
Because he does immediately leave, one, for his safety, and two, he's just like, okay, this is my place of punishment. I can't be around, you know, my fave, Dean.
Well, I think, yeah.
And to stay away from him. And before Cass sort of refreshes Dean's memory about what happened in Purgatory, he's trying to get this point across to Cass. He's like, I don't need to feel like hell for failing you, for failing every godforsaken thing I care about. Cass, he cares about you. And Dean's feeling so guilty about apparently letting you stay in Purgatory. And Cass, I think that's why Cass is like, oh, honey, that's not what happened. That's not what happened at all. Yeah. I need to show you what really happened. What does he say? Something like, you remembered it the way you needed to, or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that was that huge thing.
Mm-hmm. Which also goes to show that Cass literally just understands Dean.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah.
Because he knows the abandonment issues thing. And he's like, oh, because of that problem, your brain probably did this so you could survive.
Mm-hmm. So the next thing I really have is this talk between Cass and Dean in Hunter, whatever that. The one with the
Looney Tunes one.
Yeah, that one. Where Dean tries to get Cass to talk to him. I think it's interesting because Dean kind of performs for Sam when Cass is in the room of, oh, are you going to get a room? Oh, what are we going to do? Have a sleepover and braid Sam's hair. And then once Sam leaves, he has this heart-to-heart talk with Cass on, come on, talk to me. Open up to me. Tell me what you want. And then once he pushes too far, Cass kind of loses it and says, don't talk to me.
Why don't you go check in? It's something about, like, why don't you go, like, talk to heaven or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And Cass like, Dean, I said no. And he's like, whoa, buddy, whoa, he's whoa, like,
come
whoa.
On, just talk.
Please. What's going on?
Yeah, come on, just talk to me. I don't think he would have done this if San was in the room.
Yeah.
It was very performative at first of, oh, we gotta be macho. You gotta get out of here, Cass. What do you mean? You're gonna stay with us? No, that's not happening. And then all of a sudden, he's like, come on, man, open up. Have a chick flick moment with me.
Why are you upset?
Why are you feeling this way? And Dean doesn't put him down after Cass pretty much just was just saying, if I go to heaven, I'm gonna fucking kill myself because of what I did. And Dean just kind of sits there like, yeah, okay. I understand. Dean's, I understand how you're feeling this way.
Dean's oops, relatable.
Yeah, exactly. Not good. And he doesn't do anything else on that. Well, understands
Sam,
this.
Like, yeah, and Sam comes back, and so they can't really finish this conversation. So Dean can't sort of add his, I don't know, 2 cents,
mm-hmm.
whatever Dean would come up with mm-hmm. to say to Cass.
Yeah.
I don't know what it would be.
But relatable.
He absolutely would have continued this conversation. But of course, Sam comes back. Mm-hmm. And so, one, his shields are back up. His walls are back up a little bit. And he doesn't want to just blab Cass's secret to Sam.
Funny enough that you actually just said that, there's one thing I did forget about the conversation when Cass kind of told Dean the truth about what happened to Purgatory.
Sure.
Is that Dean looked so upset, and then Sam ruined the moment.
Yeah, came in.
And then he had to put up those walls up.
Yeah.
He looked really upset, like, wait, you abandoned me? And then Sam came in, and he was like, look, I'm pissed at Cass.
So while they're on this case and they're in the morgue, Cass is standing, like, super close to Dean for really no reason. There's ample space. And throughout the case, Dean kind of is just roasting Cass because he's not great at being a hunter or an FBI agent or whatever. And honestly, this is really kind of Dean's way of just being glad that Cass is back, because that's sort of one of Dean's love languages is roasting. Okay.
It
He just
this is shown past, present, and future, I feel like. That he likes to push people's buttons and kind of just make jokes to Cass, even though Cass doesn't know them. Cass is in here, I don't understand this reference. Mm-hmm. But he almost thinks it's funny that he doesn't get it. He's like, oh well, whatever.
Oh, absolutely. He has such a great time.
Yeah.
Being a hunter with Cass. And you know what? He makes the biggest little hard eyes when they're at that retirement home. He's just like, oh, having so much fun while Cass is interviewing that nice little old lady who thinks Cass is her dead husband. He's just staring at him over the chest. We're like, oh, this is so fun watching you work. And talking to this little old lady with no idea what's going on. He's having such a good time. It's too bad Cass doesn't feel that Dean feels that way.
Well, and just to make sure we go back to Dean's little side piece that he's got going on here. Sure. Dean goes, not to see Benny, but because Sam's on the sus of Benny, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. I find it interesting that I know Sam knows that Benny's a vampire and he's sus about that. But Sam does see that Dean does trust Benny. He sees him trust him 110%, which is so odd to Sam because he doesn't understand. I don't think Sam understands why Dean does trust Benny, because obviously he doesn't know the whole thing in Purgatory and yada, yada, yada.
Right.
But I think he's missing something. I think Sam in season 8 is slowly beginning to realize the relationships that Dean has and how it's different with Sam. Mm-hmm. Because Dean doesn't talk to Sam about Benny ever. Or he doesn't talk to Sam about Cass ever. So it's just this weird, different relationship that Dean has with other people that he doesn't bring it to Sam. Almost like Dean doesn't want Sam to worry about these things. When in reality, Sam just wants to know what's going on with Dean.
Right.
And understand why. Sam is too pissed off to understand why Dean has this relationship with Benny almost. Mm-hmm. To see what the reason is of it. And doesn't want to trust Benny. And just doesn't see Benny as a good person in general. So it's hard to say, really.
Right. And Sam extends Dean a little bit of trust with Benny.
Yeah.
Right? He gives him like 2 hours to go find him and talk to him or something, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was. That's how far he goes with the trust with Benny, because he trusts Dean.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, all right, I trust you. I trust your judgment, but only a little bit, because this is weird to me.
Yeah.
And you've not explained this relationship fully to me in a way that I understand, or really at all.
Mm-hmm. Which is really interesting, because then later, when Sam kind of trusts Benny, Dean has to make the ultimate sacrifice with Benny of, maybe I have to cut you out of my life because I need Sam. And Benny knows this. Benny understands. It kind of reminds me of Cass, of, I knew that I could never come between you and your brother. Mm-hmm. However, Lisa said, again, Lisa did say, I know I can't come between you and your brother, but I want to come between you and your brother. Lisa wanted Dean to choose Lisa over Sam. Right. That was never going to happen. And I think she knows deep down it's never going to happen. But in theory, she would like it. Benny knows this is never going to happen. Cass knows that this is never going to happen.
Right.
You get Dean with Sam, or you don't get Dean at all.
Facts.
And so I think when Dean, I say, breaks up with Benny and says, we got to stop, we got to do this. And Benny really knows of, yeah, you're right. I can't keep doing this. We can't keep doing this because it's not going to work out. I understand we have different things. We're at different points of our life. Things are going on. It hurts, but we have to do it. And Benny knows that he can't ask Dean to keep doing this, because Benny, and the thing is, that's what's really nice, is Benny could have fought for Dean to say, no, I really need you to help me. I really need you to come here. I really need you. And Dean would have dropped everything and came. But Benny knows Dean does want out. Mm-hmm. And Benny says, okay, bye, friend. Yeah, you get out of this. relationship that we're in, kind of thing.
With that, I also feel like it's not just a Dean and Sam package deal that kind of causes this rift between Dean and Benny.
Oh, yeah.
It's also Cass. And I think this is also Dean sort of choosing Cass over Benny just because Cass is acting weird
at
this point. And so Dean has to focus on figuring out what's going on with Cass. And so he can't be running around the country trying to make sure Benny stays on the straight and narrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, yeah, phone calls, I guess, could help. But I mean, Dean's busy.
Yeah.
And that would cause a rift between Dean and Sam, which is not mm-hmm. what they want. I mean, at the end of this episode, they're like, oh, the brothers, because then they have Sam's whole Amelia thing, which is kind of parallels the choice. So Dean sort of breaks up with Benny at this instance when mm-hmm. when Sam chooses to sort of break up with Amelia. Mm-hmm. And it's just the brothers, the hunting life, blah, blah, blah. So it's kind of like a twofer thing you get there.
I also want to bring up, because the next episode after is an episode where we get with Charlie when Dean is gossiping about everything, saying what happened with Sam. And Charlie says to Dean, after Dean is explaining all this stuff and how hurt he is and blah, 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 and all this stuff, Charlie asks, did you also break up with someone too? And he's like, nah, wait, it was just Sam. Charlie knows. He pretty much did. He broke up with a side piece.
He did.
This guy who he thought he could maybe be in a relationship with, again, we're all like, listen, he probably fucked Benny.
Whatever was going on with them, we don't know. There isn't a lot, but it was a thing.
Yeah. Regardless. It was an intimate relationship between two people, whatever you want to say.
I'm pretty sure, like, on set they referred to it, like, as the breakup.
Yeah.
Like, them breaking up. Like everyone was just like, they're breaking up.
I don't want to get into it, too, about the whole you don't really need sex to have a relationship.
Right.
That's a whole extra thing, because I always think about asexuals who don't have sex and are in a relationship.
Right.
So it's this whole thing of, especially in purgatory, when that is not needed, your hierarchy of needs, you don't really need sex
right now.
You're trying
not to die.
You're trying not to die all the time. That's not a very high priority. But just being in this intimate relationship that you see other parts of a person, I think Benny was there to fulfill those needs.
Right.
It just, I don't think, happened to be sex at the time.
Right.
I say at the time. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know what happened. And continuing on with Dean's sexuality, the next big thing that we have is Dean's gay thing that he has with Aaron.
This gay thing.
This whole thing is pretty interesting because we've had long talks about this. Because,
mm-hmm.
yes, this is a defining moment, and also it's not. Because you can take it of one in two ways. I always say that in season one, I could say Dean is always flustered because when people always mistake Sam and Dean as a couple, Dean's all, why do they think I'm... And Sam's like, I don't know, you're butch. I don't know. Like, what, dude, you're probably overcompensating.
You're overcompensating.
And he is so... This is not for, like, he is freaking out.
Worried.
He is so worried about this. And for him, it makes sense because this is season one or season two when John has been alive or recently died, so he has to be in this way. He has to be straight. He has to act straight. He can't even think that way. And even if he is still straight and later on, he can accept that other guys will hit on him. But in my mind, there has been many times that Dean has been hit on. Didn't we see the Live Free or Twide Hard? When was that?
That's season six.
Yeah, okay. So that's season six that he was hit on by that vampire. You're telling me Dean Winchester has never been hit on by a man before?
Look at him.
He's pretty. Many people have said that. I don't understand. So in my mind, this is not uncommon. So he could get mad because he could be labeled as, I'm going to say homophobic, because he doesn't like men hitting on him. Not, I don't think Dean is homophobic, but I'm just using that term as a very simple term to specify it down.
Sure.
So Dean, you could say, is homophobic. But in this sense, he's not, because he gets flustered. He doesn't get angry or mad or storms off or just says, whatever, or right. doesn't freak out about it. He gets kind of flustered.
Sure.
Like, it's surprising. So then you could say that...
And flattering, yeah.
So then you could say that Dean is confused because a 180, he thought he was being followed. And I think that's fair. I would be very confused if I thought I was being followed and someone's like, oh my God, you're so interesting. I'd be like...
Oh God, Aaron killed
what?
It. That's supposed to make you less interesting?
What? Oh, sorry, whatever. So in my mind, why does Dean continue to get flustered though? And I know it's 180, you're very confused at first, I understand. But I always think for Sam, because Sam, obviously, when they are mistaken as a couple, Sam just kind of brushes off, like, whatever. I don't know.
Where are his brothers?
Yeah, where are his brothers? Whatever. Mm-hmm. Sam, if someone came up to me, he'd be like, oh, I'm flattered, but, like, no, thank you, or I don't feel that way, or thank you, like, I appreciate it, blah, blah, anything. I don't know. Sam would be nice about it. I even think if Sam thought he was being followed, yeah, he might be a little confused because he thought he was in hunter mode. Oh, I'm being followed. And then all of a sudden he's, oh my God, I think you're so interesting. Blah, blah, blah. He's like, oh.
I see what's happening here.
I see what's happening. I'm flattered, but
Let me switch gears here.
Bye. And Mike just leave. But Dean stays and just federal and investigation. I don't know. And he looks at him. And then, of course, when Aaron says, oh, does that make you more or less interesting? And he continues to look at Aaron and talk to him and just sits there and kind of has this conversation with Aaron. And you're sitting here like, oh my God, Dean, just leave. Just walk away. Why are you still standing there? Because I feel like if Dean would just say, you know, federal investigation and just walked away, it would be fine. But he seems so confused and so concerned. And I don't know. And in my mind, I'm thinking at this point, Dean is saying, oh my God, does he think I'm gay? Why does he think that? Why is he hitting on me? I don't understand. What is there something about me? But also, oh my gosh, does he know? Does he know something that I don't know? Is he seeing something that I'm putting out there that I'm not trying to put out there because I am bi and I am interested? What is going on?
For me, this scene, it's really funny because I love and hate Supernatural for the way that they do scenes like this.
Yes.
That can lend itself to
interpretation.
Certain interpretations. So Dean goes up to him, of course, and he does the whole FBI thing or whatever. And, you know, he's got his badge on the table. And then when it's revealed that Aaron seems to be hitting on him,
mm-hmm.
he just sort of slowly closes his badge. He's like switching gears here from the professionalism,
mm-hmm.
right, into this sort of flustered Dean's getting hit on by a guy at a bar mode.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just being like, oh, okay, I thought you were like kind of like tailing me. I'm, you know, my line of work, right? Close the badge, leaves him alone.
Mm-hmm.
No. What do they do? Dean just gets sort of like flustered. And he doesn't really know what to do with himself. He's like,
have a good day. Runs into tables.
Yeah, you like bumps you into tables. Like, it's like, Dean, honey, get a grip. Like, I don't know. It's just, it's really funny. And it just sort of lends itself to questions. Like, why is that the way that they played it? They could have easily played it. If they weren't trying to imply anything, they could have easily just played it off as like, oh, that's funny. Dean got hit on when he thought the guy was tailing him. That is funny. That's something to just throw in there. But to film it the way that they did, and have Jensen act just so sort of flustered and not know what to do with himself. Like, do you know how many times Dean Winchester has been hit on? I have no idea, and neither does he, because it's a billion. And I mean, it's not like Dean's sort of opposed to this type of attention. First of all, we are talking about Dean and Cass having a more romantic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
We see in the Elliot Ness episode, Dean's getting out of a car and three people walk by. One guy who's a soldier and then two women dressed, you know, well for the 40s, and he looks at the soldier instead. Like, he focuses attention on this soldier, the guy, instead of these two pretty girls walking right in front of him. And the whole episode, he's really focusing on trying to get Elliot Ness to like him, his hero, which this is a trope that we see happen a lot. I mean, Dr. Sexy, like, heroes or people these guys he admire, where it just, he sort of admires them in a way that just seems to be a little different.
Yes. That's why I agree with that. Yeah. So it is very interesting to me and telling when later on, when we find out Aaron was tailing him and not hitting on him, Dean kind of confirms like this, you weren't hitting on me, right?
He's
like, no, I was tailing you, idiot. He's like, yeah. Uh-huh.
Good.
I knew that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This was my gay thing kind of thing. Because in my eyes, if this guy was hitting on him, I think Dean was like, oh, wait, is this a possibility now? Is this someone? Because me, I say being a straight woman is obviously men would be, I would assume that they would like me. This is making any sense. But for gay people, it's not that everyone in the room is attracted to you. You have to specifically for a homosexual man and a homosexual man, not all the men in the room are going to be attracted to you. You have to find out all the gay men. So in my eyes, Dean is looking, saying, oh, here's one. And now it's been confirmed that he likes me. So look, is this a thing that's happening? And so now he has to confirm, saying, oh, wait, we weren't doing this.
This wasn't a thing.
This wasn't a thing.
And he seems just a little bit disappointed about it.
Yeah, just that confirmation of, so you weren't doing this kind of thing. Oh, just that conversation of, oh, I can't talk to you anymore maybe about this. I won't talk to you in a way maybe that I would talk to, I don't know, someone else that I might be hitting on to or something. I don't know.
Right.
Okay, so the next big thing is Goodbye Stranger.
The Goodbye Stranger.
The Goodbye Stranger. The crypt scene, everything. So start off, Naomi is having Cass kill all these Deans. We see that, and there's no hesitation here. This is huge, because I love seeing this, because Naomi knows. She knows the only thing standing in her way to get what she wants is Dean fucking Winchester.
She's been in Cass's noggin. She knows. It's not Dean and Sam. It's just Dean.
It's just Dean. And this is huge that there's no hesitation. We see that there's a million Deans everywhere.
So sad.
But however, once we get to the crypt, Cass doesn't do it because he knows the real Dean.
He can't do it.
He can't do it. He knows. He just knows. I think this is huge because this whole crypt scene, funny enough, it just came back into light. The scripts were just released on this, and I thought that was really funny that the fandom was losing their entire minds. It was something like, we already know this. We're well past this.
We're well past that.
I don't understand. So Jensen in this episode says, as he's being beaten up by Cass, of, we're family. I need you. Please don't do this. You know what I mean? Like, please don't do this. However, it was written as, Cass, I forgive you. I love you.
Right.
And I do remember Jensen saying that he had changed it kind of last minute, that they did shots of I love you. And Jensen thought that's not what Dean would say.
Right.
He wouldn't say that because Dean isn't that person. He doesn't say I love you to people. He wouldn't really. He would say it one time. I honestly don't know when the last time Dean Winchester has ever said I love you. It's textually and canonically, because textually he said I love you. But in the canon, he said, I need you. So, I don't know. In subtext, he really is saying, I love you. But I don't know how you want to read this, because it's never mentioned again. So, in canon, really, Dean has never said, I love you to Cass. It's a little up in the air on that, but I think it's noteworthy to mention, because that's how Dean was written for that.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it is interesting that Jensen decided to change it to, I need you, because he did say that to Cass in Purgatory. To try and get Cass to come along with him. He's like, Cass, buddy, I need you. Where he felt most pure, the way he might be able to express himself a little bit better. And so he needs him. But it's unfortunate because that isn't really what Cass needs to hear. Cass needs to hear, I want you with me. And Dean says, I need you. Which is Dean's way of saying, I want you here. I love you, you know. But it's not received the same way to Cass, I don't think.
Well, and I think this is crazy because leading up to this, Dean kind of knew Cass was sus the whole time.
Yeah.
Since Purgatory. Sam kind of knew, but, and I think that's huge that Dean was sus of Cass the entire time, but I'm thinking it was because that Sam was just, okay, Cass is back, yeah, whatever, okay, if he's sus, I'll see it, because I saw it last time in The Man Who Would Be King. Dean this time is just putting up his walls. I think he just doesn't want to trust Cass because I think he's worried. I think he sees it beforehand because he can't trust Dean because he does not want to be hurt like last time. But in this moment, I think Dean realizes where the suspicion lies in. Before, Dean didn't want to put his trust in Cass because Cass hurt him. But in this moment of being beaten up, I think he realizes as this is not Cass.
Absolutely.
So there is something wrong with Cass, but Cass is not choosing this because Cass wouldn't do this. Because last time, Cass tried to tell him his reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
Cass tried to reason with him and make him understand why Cass was doing this. But in this reason, Cass is not saying anything. Cass is just beating him. Cass looks like he's about to kill him. He just doesn't understand. So I think in this moment, him saying, Cass, I forgive you. I knew it wasn't you. I know it's not you.
This isn't
you. I know
you.
It's not you. This isn't you. Mm-hmm. I know it's not. And so I do trust you, and I believe you can get out of there. Even though I didn't trust you all this time, now I know I can put my trust in you, because I think he's realizing, oh my God, Cass is being hurt.
Cass's actions aren't his own. He's being controlled. Because doesn't he say, like,
stop,
Cass,
Naomi.
He's freaking out. He's like, Naomi, stop. Leave me alone or whatever.
Cass and then says. He's like, who's Naomi? Yeah. He's like, what is going on? And so I think he's realizing, like, oh my God, Cass is hurting.
He's being controlled by somebody.
Something's not right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not his own volition that he's hurting him.
It's not him.
He doesn't know he's doing it.
Right.
And so Dean knows that Cass wouldn't do this on purpose. And so he knows that Cass would be hurt and doesn't want to do this and feels so bad about all of this.
Right, absolutely.
Because he thought this whole time he couldn't put his trust in Cass, when in reality he should, because Dean didn't open up to Cass now after The Man Who Would Be King, I think Dean maybe would have noticed Cass being sus again.
Mm-hmm.
But because he didn't want to open up again, and get hurt like last time because he was being sus.
Right.
And Dean is worried about, oh my gosh, he's being weird again. I don't want to get close because I'm going to get hurt again.
Right.
But if Dean would have gotten close,
he would have known.
He would have known that it's Cass is being controlled.
Yeah. I think. And he came back from purgatory and that was a little bit weird.
I think he was just nervous for getting his heart broken. Yeah,
it was all just like all the circumstance in the past. And Dean was like, I don't want to go through that again.
Yeah.
I don't really know who this Cass is post-purgatory. We don't know how he got out. It's weird. It's weird. And I'm worried.
Yeah. It makes sense. But once he sees it, he's like, oh my God, no, come here. Come to me. Like, I understand. Like, you're being hurt. You're being not who you are.
You got
to
fight this.
Please do this. Yes, I believe you. You're doing all this.
And I know you're in there.
The connection breaks. And I do really love, what broke the connection? I'm like, what the fuck do you think, boys?
I know, honestly.
Although I do agree that Dean broke the original connection and then the angel tablet severed it.
Yeah.
That's what I believe. It makes sense because Cass seemed to be completely in control and Naomi couldn't reach to him. And then after, when he touched the angel tablet, it was severed.
Yeah. Dean brought Cass back to himself and then the tablets severed that connection.
Mm-hmm.
So either way, Dean did it. Also, he broke the connection.
I did want to mention, I think this is also very noteworthy, is that last time Cass was going to die, Dean wasn't going to have closure.
Mm-hmm.
And so for Dean saying, I forgive you, we're family, don't do this, I know it's not you, it's okay, I forgive you. I forgive you. If you kill me, I forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
Dean is giving Cass that closure if Cass makes that horrible decision on accidentally doing this. Once Cass is in control of himself, Cass is going to be feel guilty for years that he killed Dean and couldn't do anything to stop it. But at least maybe he can have that closure of, oh my gosh, Dean said he forgave me, even though he wouldn't believe it. But he would have had that closure, I think, of Dean knew it wasn't my fault because he said it wasn't me. He knew it wasn't me. So he knew that I didn't really want this and it's not really my fault. And so Cass could get that closure that Dean couldn't get originally. And then after all of this, Cass goes off, right?
Yes.
So now, next really big scene we have, again, is with characters not with Dean and Cass, mm-hmm. but Dean and Naomi. Naomi goes to Dean to manipulate him.
Oh, yeah.
To get him to find Cass. Because, again, Naomi knows.
Yeah.
Naomi knows that Cass is pretty much in love with Dean and that Dean is in love with Cass. Like, they'll do anything from each other.
Yeah.
So Naomi goes to Dean. A, Dean first says, I don't trust angels. I don't trust them. Naomi says, okay, why is this place not angel warded then?
Interesting.
Because you're waiting for Castiel, right? And Dean's like, no.
Shut up.
No, that's not right. And so Naomi, of course, knows, obviously. And Naomi is going to Dean and saying, I understand you are also looking for Castiel. We're on the same side, Dean. We don't want Cass dead. Come on, you need to help us find him so we can take the angel tablet. And he's not dead because currently he's being hunted by demons. They're looking for him. It's not us. Like, you need to be on our side. And of course, Dean's kind of sitting here like, maybe you're right. I need to find Cass. And Dean, even though he says, I don't trust angels,
mm-hmm.
he kind of is seeing Naomi's side of, oh no, but she's right though. I am worried about Cass and I need to find Cass because he is doing some dangerous stuff, and maybe she's right. Maybe we're on the same side. And Dean is just being manipulated. Naomi has Dean wrapped around her fucking finger.
I wouldn't say that, but she does absolutely bring up, you know, Cass is in real danger. We don't know where he is. We really need to find him so something bad doesn't happen to him. And she literally just sets off Dean's, like, worry alarms.
And also, I think it's huge because I think Naomi kind of, I say probes Dean, kind of like pushes the idea of, she's kind of leading on that she knows that Dean cares a lot about Cass.
Mm-hmm.
So she's also kind of saying, you need to find him before I kill him too. Because I want this angel tablet. I will find anything to get this. She's kind of saying, I know that I know that you care for him. So go find him. Because someone's going to find him and he's going to end up dead. So kind of just saying like, oh yeah, I know this. I know that you know that I know.
If you find Cass and bring him to me, I'll make sure he's fine.
Yeah.
Which is not at all true.
No. Which, but she's kind of threatening him, but also twist this, manipulate him to say,
we're on the same side.
But also, you know that I know that you're in love with him. It's this whole thing of like, we know this. And Dean's kind of sitting here like, yeah, you know that I know that you know. It's this whole back and forth issue. So after all this, I feel like we keep going back and forth, but it's very important, I think. Next thing we have is, again, Benny with Dean. One of the big relationships in season 8, and I just think this is huge. Dean calls Benny. After this whole breakup of, we're not going to talk, Dean calls Benny to talk and do all this stuff. And Benny could have just said, fuck you, whatever, I'm going to go off by myself. But after Dean talks to him and says, you know, you have to go get Sam out of purgatory. He's trapped. So once you go there, you'll do the spell. It works. You'll come back. Mm-hmm. And Benny knows he just has to do it for Dean. It doesn't matter that he might die or whatever. He needs to help Dean. Because again, Benny does not get in the way between Sam and Dean's relationship. He knows it's bigger picture. So he does it.
Yeah, of course. I mean, Benny, Mr. So good to hear your voice. I'm just happy to hear from you.
I know. Yeah. Seriously. Oh my God. I think in one of my notes, I was like, Benny, that's so gay.
He's what? Struggling.
He's like, oh, so good to hear your voice, brother.
Well, he's lonely.
Oh my God. There was one side note that I never mentioned in the beginning, but there was a thing in Purgatory mm-hmm. that Dean was talking like Benny. And that with people that you care about, kind of. Yeah. It's like the mirror thing. Mm-hmm. That you mirror people that you love.
You know, like you're hanging out with someone, you start like saying their sort of
phrasing. Yeah. No. And so he said something and I was like, I don't know. That's just Jensen being very Texas-y, or he was mirroring Benny's stuff. I just love that. I love that. But I just thought it was very interesting that, of course, Benny just knows right off the bat he needs to go help Dean. And you could say because Benny wants to die and yada, yada, yada. But he could have just died some other way. But he knows he has to go help Dean. And he has to do it for Dean. And so he can say goodbye to Dean, too. Yeah.
Closure.
Yeah.
It is good that Benny gets... He's like, oh, perfect opportunity for me.
Yeah, he can say goodbye to Dean. Even though Dean doesn't believe him. Again, everyone abandons Dean. He's losing it.
Dean's like, you're going to come back, right? And you and Sam, you're going to come back and it's going to be great. You're going to come back, right?
Yeah. And even though Dean knows that Benny is so unhappy... They broke up. Yeah. Benny's like, stop.
Well, it's not because of Benny. It was Dean's own issues.
I know.
And I think he realizes how much Benny was struggling.
Yeah.
And hurting. And that was not an easy thing for Dean to do. Like, this is not an easy thing for Dean to do.
Dean was so upset. Mm-hmm. This episode killed me when I saw it. Because Dean really didn't want to do this. Because, again, at that point, it's Dean's fault. Dean mm-hmm. is asking Betty, hey, I got to kill you so you can bring my brother back. He couldn't just let it go as it is. So now he had to lose his friend who wouldn't have been dead if it wasn't for him. Yeah, Benny could have done that, but now this is actually Dean's fault. Right. And everyone abandons him.
And Benny didn't come back.
So not only do we have Benny abandoning him, Cass abandoned him in Purgatory and now is off with the angel tablet and is not talking to him because he's not picking up the phone calls. And now Sam, at this point, is doing the trials. Mm-hmm. Is going to abandon him. Because Dean, deep down, knows that Sam is probably not going to live this.
Right.
Everyone abandons Dean. No one is thinking about Dean. And he's sitting here going, I just can't deal with this. I just can't. And then the next episode is, guess who? Charlie.
Shocker.
After Dean has to kill Benny and Cass is off in the wind somewhere. Mm-hmm. Charlie is there to talk to him and get through all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And is just get to be there. And he seems a little happier. And I swear to you, this is a theory. This goes on even later. Charlie just keeps coming back at episodes after that something has gone down between one of Dean and his boyfriends. I swear to you.
Dean needs to gossip. And so he needs Charlie.
In her gay power.
She gets it.
She does.
She gets it. Sam won't get it. Charlie gets it.
So really at the end of season 8, at the very, very end, all we have is Cass is finally in the bunker. And I find this funny that Dean, after all of this, is ignoring Cass. Only because he says, you didn't trust me. Me. Italicized. He is taking this so personally that Cass ran off. Cass beat him to a bloody pulp and then ran off and didn't tell Dean where he was going.
Oh, but he's not ignoring him. He's being petty AF.
He is taking it so personally. He's like, you didn't trust me. You didn't do this. And Cass is like, no, I didn't trust you because I knew what you were going to do. And he's like, oh, you did not. And this is where it gets a little interesting. And this is where I think the character development was kind of weird because Dean, I get this because this is him being petty. It makes sense. Dean only ignores Cass. This doesn't happen to Sam. This doesn't happen to anyone else. He's just being so petty and ignoring Cass and not talking to him and just being like, whatever. I don't want to talk to you. No, me and Sam are going on a hunt. You and Sam, your brother who's kind of dying, you'd rather have him. You even say, yeah, I'd rather have him. He doesn't let me down. And Cass is like, him? The guy who's coughing up blood? You'd rather have this idiot than me who's at full power and I can actually help you?
Yeah, doesn't he say something like, yeah, even weakened or whatever, Sam, I can trust Sam more than you or something like
that. What does this mean? And this is interesting to me because he's putting Sam's safety at risk because of this whole pettiness with Cass.
Mm-hmm.
He is bringing Sam out and about with him being hurt when Sam should stay in the bunker and they're just going on this road trip to talk to this guy. Dean should bring Cass, but instead he's like, nah, I'm just going to be petty with Cass because he hurt my feelings. This doesn't make sense. Because in my eyes, Sam always comes first in Dean's book. So why is he doing this? This is weird. This is where it becomes the weird thing of Dean being angry at Cass for only plot-related reasons, not for character reasons of, oh, we need to get Cass here, so we're going to do this. And it makes sense.
Yeah.
Dean is pissed at Cass. Cass goes off to, you know, help Dean go to the grocery store. He needs pie. He's going to do all this stuff. And who does he find there? Metatron.
Yep.
What does that lead to? All this other bullshit in season 8.
Mm-hmm.
How do we get Cass to go talk to Metatron? How do we get Cass to trust Metatron without talking to Dean first? They did the first two tasks in Metatron's spell, really, without talking to Dean.
Mm-hmm.
How did you do that? Because Dean is pissed at Cass, and Cass doesn't want to talk to Dean because obviously he's upset. Cass feels bad because now Dean thinks he doesn't trust him. I say thinks he doesn't trust him.
Right.
And Cass is like, oh no, he doesn't want to talk to me.
I just want to fix things.
I just want to fix things, yeah.
No, this doesn't make any sense because Dean, obviously after Cass broke out of his mind control with Naomi, probably wouldn't want to take his eyes off of him.
Yeah, I don't know. It's really weird. This whole...
It doesn't make sense.
Dean has this whole performance with Cass in front of Sam. Because even Sam later on says, dude, it's Cass. Cut him a break. And Dean is just sitting here like, no, I would have killed him if it was anyone else. And Sam is just sitting here like, dude, it's Cass.
Yeah, and it's Cass. We should let it go.
It's family or it's Cass. He doesn't know what he's doing. It's Cass. He's a dumb angel. Like, what are you talking about, man? And again, it just makes sense that the writers are doing some weird, bad thing. And in my eyes, Dean is performing for Cass to be like, look, I'm angry at you. You didn't trust me. I'm angry at you. You need to make it up to me. Kind of like later on when he tried to perform to Cass to say, hey, you should apologize to me because you fucked up, buddy. And then Cass didn't do it because... You know, Dean is just trying to be like, hey, you should know that I'm mad at you. I'm mad at you. You should know that. You get to simmer and stew knowing that I'm mad at you.
And there's nothing you can do about me being mad at you. I'm just going to be mad at you.
Yeah. And I'm going to ignore you because that would hurt you. And you know, you just hurt people just to hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dean's sitting here like, oh, I don't actually mean it. But Cass doesn't know that. Cass is just sitting here like, oh, shit, Dean's pissed at me.
So stupid.
Not talking to me. Dean's like, well, I do this with my brother all the time. And Sam goes, okay, get the hell over yourself, Dean. Let's work on this case.
Literally.
Because everyone else is like, you know, you move on. You just say, okay, whatever.
And it doesn't fit the pattern of after some catastrophic betrayal of Cass or something, and he comes back to him, all is forgiven. We just saw this.
Yes, he literally just said, I don't care, seven, obviously.
It's whatever. Just you're here, you're safe, you're fine. That's all that matters. Stupid.
And this is proven because once Cass does go to Dean for help, because finally Cass did learn from his mistake and said, maybe I should go get Dean because, well, and again, it was written because the Metatron was gone. But anyway, Cass said, maybe I should go get Dean because last time I didn't, he was really angry at me and he's already angry at me now. And Dean is angry at me now, so I'm going to do this. And this is just shown right here that Dean kind of just drops everything. Even though he's with Sam and Sam says go with him, Dean's okay with it. Dean is kind of happy and Dean goes along with Cass's plan.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I think, is huge. So I think last time when Dean was just angry and pissed and didn't do anything to help Cass, he didn't humor him. He just shut all that shit down. Said, no, you're working probably. I don't understand your plan. No, this is dangerous. Blah, blah, blah. Cass is sitting here going, Dean, let me explain. Please, let me explain.
Right.
And now Dean is sitting here going, okay, I think this is a bad plan. I'm going to go along with you, though, because I didn't last time. And look where that got me. That got you dead and me in trouble. So let me go along with this. Let me go talk to Kevin to see how true this is, because last time you were manipulated and this is what you are. This is who you are, which is fine. But I'm just going to help you out, buddy. I'm going to make sure that this is okay, and we're going to do this together. And then if so happens that Metatron is lying, I'll be there for you to be like, I told you so, but in a nice way kind of thing.
Right.
Come on, we'll move past this now.
Because Dean knows that Cass will trust him.
Yeah. Now that he's gone along with his plan. So right. This is so odd to me that Dean is just like, I don't want to talk to you. And then all of a sudden he's like, oh, yeah, we're fine.
He even says it when they're at the bar. They're just like, you know, talk to me. How do you feel about this? He even wants to, like, connect emotionally with him.
Yes, and I think Dean is sitting here in this moment, because we had this conversation of when Dean says, E.T., go home, so meaning that I think Cass is going to stay in heaven forever. So this is almost like Dean's goodbye. Okay, we're shutting the gates of hell. You're shutting the gates of heaven. It's this nice closure thing. Okay, goodbye. This might be it, and this kind of sucks, but I don't know what we're going to do.
Right. Greater good.
Mm-hmm. Even though Dean did humor Cass, Naomi does come in and say, no, this is fake. And again, I do like this because this just shows that Dean said, okay, I don't trust Naomi, but I don't know, maybe we should listen to her, Cass, but also I want to trust you. And Cass doesn't believe her at all.
Right. But smart. I mean, fair.
In my eyes, Cass believes Dean because Dean now has this instinct of, I don't trust her now. Mm-hmm. Something seems sus. And he's like, okay, maybe we should look into this. They do go back to Kevin and say, come on, man, we gotta figure this out. And honestly, I think Cass was waiting for the okay from Dean to complete this spell before Metatron fucked him over.
Yeah.
I don't think he would have done anything because that's how close they were at this point. And I really enjoyed that they did this. And I was like, okay, I really did like that they brought this up, that Dean trusts Cass to not make any mistakes. And he knew he really wasn't going to. And that's proven in season 9 later on. And that Cass is kind of, okay, we've trusted now. We're with Dean. Dean is with me.
Team effort,
yeah. Because really, Dean wants to make sure that Cass is not fooled again. He doesn't want him to get burned again. He doesn't want him to get hurt again.
By those angels that are mean to him at all times.
That he's just trying to help.
Mm-hmm. I think that really grinds Dean's gears so much. That Cass is so good and tries so hard, and all of his brothers and sisters are mean to him.
Mm-hmm.
And just try and kill him all the time.
So kind of tying in with Sam earlier, I did mention that I think Sam is kind of sus about Dean trusting Benny and this whole relationship of like, why you're trusting Benny? I don't understand. This is weird because in the end of season 8, he is kind of upset that Dean is trusting him. And I thought this was odd that Sam says, you know, you trust an angel over your own brother, a vampire. I understand Benny. That makes sense. But it's Cass. You literally just said this not too long ago. And I know in Supernatural, they're trying to bring it back to the brothers. It's getting too gay and they want to make it back to the brothers.
Right.
I understand. But it's so weird that Sam has almost this jealousy that Dean is having these other relationships with people. And I don't think, and Dean explains that all this stuff, like, look, no, we're brothers. I was gonna stop the trials for you. Like, come on, man. Like, you're so stupid. And I think it gets through Sam's mind that Dean will always be there for him.
Mm-hmm.
And the relationships that Dean has with other people, when Dean relates them as brothers and family, might not be the same way.
It won't affect his relationship with Sam.
Yes, because Cass knows that he could never get in between the relationship between Dean and Sam.
Of course.
Cass knows this.
Yeah, of course.
So in my mind, Sam is the one that's saying here, could I get in the way between Cass and Dean? Could I get in between the relationship?
Mm-hmm.
And I think Sam just doesn't realize at this point is it's different between their relationships. It just is. Same thing with Benny. I think after Benny sacrificed himself and says, no, you know what? And Sam really saw that he was a good guy.
Yeah.
I think he understood that, oh, this relationship is just, it's different. Mm-hmm. And I think it sucks because he saw this and saw Dean with Benny as another brother, because he said that I trusted Benny more than this past year than I ever had with you. And Sam's like, I'm gutted. Ha. And shut so up. Sam just doesn't realize that these relationships are just way different.
Yeah.
They're just different. They just are.
I mean, shoot. Explaining Dean and Sam's relationship to an outside party would be bananas. And you'd have to go through so many things. And it's honestly similar with Cass and similar with Benny. Like, Dean has been involved in some very traumatic, deep stuff with both of those people. All three of them, really. But it's all different.
It's odd to me because Sam almost sees Cass as a threat. a threat to their relationship. I want to know when Sam stops seeing Cass as a threat to the boys' relationship. And I think that changes kind of after this.
I don't really think he, like, Sam's actual character does. I think they just, that was one of the things they forced onto him at the end of this season.
Yeah.
To cause drama.
Oh, no, I do agree with you there.
I just wanted to make that clear that I don't think Sam ever really thought that.
I'm just
too much.
In the canon, if you wanted to say that. I'm right. Sitting here going, Sam is thinking Cass is a threat. I can see Benny as a threat because that does make sense.
He's a monster. There's tension there. There's history.
It's just different. So I guess in my mind, as I wanted to see when Sam would stop seeing Benny as a threat.
Right.
I.e. Cass in this different relationship. Because why? Because, and I said this before, Dean bonded with Cass so quickly. And Sam saw that. Sam knew it. He's not stupid.
In the episode before, he just said, it's Cass. Cass is different. Cass is, so it's stupid that Sam says, you know, oh, these angels. Like, Dean hates angels. You hate angels.
Well, just in my mind, Cass, too, and he knows that Dean says, you know, I couldn't trust you. He didn't trust him with demon blood and all that stuff.
Right.
So I think he's just sitting here going, oh my gosh, when are you ever going to trust me, Dean? I think he does say at the end of 8, love, I don't think you ever still trust me. You don't trust me to do this on myself. You don't trust me to do the trials because I'm a screwed up. And Dean's like, no, stupid. I don't want you to die.
They bring up the trust issues things, which we talked about in the other podcast. But that is funny because Dean does trust Cass after the whole demon blood thing. So that's kind of fair trauma for Sam to have because Dean did drop his faith in Sam and put it in Cass.
To be fair, also, Dean immediately trusted Cass implicitly at the man who would be king. And Sam's like, stupid. He's working with Crowley.
Blinded.
How do you not see this? And he's like, no, he's not.
Dean's answer literally was, it's Cass.
It's Cass, yeah. And Sam's like, this dude's blinded by love. He's not.
I don't know if he knew what it was, but he was like, he's blinded by something.
And he immediately forgave him. I think Sam is jealous in this sense. I do like the idea. But I do understand the idea of that the writers did this here, but it does make sense in the past that Dean did just forgive Cass after everything when he kind of held a grudge with Sam.
Sam had to work for it.
It was Sam. Yeah, I know. And that's the whole thing, though. He was still around.
Cass barely has to work for it. He just has to show him some little, like, oh, Dean, I'm sorry. And Dean's like, it's fine.
Yeah, I knew what you were doing.
It doesn't matter what level Sam's puppy dog eyes are at, bud.
Dude, that's it, though, because we always compare Sam doing the right thing with Cass doing the right thing, that they both, again, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. They both are trying to do these things, and it never works out. But Sam has to fight a little harder to stay good in Dean's graces. But then Cass is just like, I'm sorry, I fucked up. And he's like, yeah, you're right.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's because Cass sort of keeps dying or almost dying, or
oh, there's more
his
negative
life is
punishments.
More in peril every time. Yeah. And then Dean's just so relieved that he's not dead that he's like, oh my God, it doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
Maybe something like that.
Man, we have so much to say about season 8. I feel like there's so much. I feel like I didn't talk about anything that I really wanted to talk about, but also there was so much that I was like, dude, I swear to you, Dean is bi. Dean was with Benny. He's in love with Taz. I don't know how else to explain this. He just is.
If you don't believe these facts after watching season 8, we're watching different seasons.
Yeah, I think this is where personally I was like, listen, I understand that people are like, yeah, I ship these two characters together. It's like, yeah, but do you? And then I'm like, I don't know, season 8 was hella gay.
I started thinking when we started watching the show, I'm like, that's ridiculous. And then we watched it and I was like, okay, never mind. These are facts.
Yeah, it's a little odd.
You guys are right.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you all so much for listening. Be sure to check out our other podcast on just the regular episodes of Supernatural. And check out our other Destiel episodes. And we're going to continue on with the rest of the seasons.
It's bumpy road to 9.
Yeah, it sure is a bumpy road to 9.
It's bumpy road to 15.
Yes. We are your Hunter hosts still. I'm Graham.
I'm Sierra.
We are driving off. And we will see you all next time in our rearview mirror.
Bye.
Oh my God, I'm so tired.